So what about you, Sarah, your past that you were the spokesperson and head of the Lucis Trust? How did you come to it in the first place?
Well, let's see. I was always drawn to service. Even as a little girl, when I was two or three, I would draw pictures of nurses. I loved to draw, and I would draw pictures of nurses with little crosses on their caps, and I would fantasize about being a nurse and pulling people back from the brink of death. Well, as I grew up, I realized I wasn't fitted to do that work at all. I just liked the idea of the rescuer.
But the reality wasn't for you.
No, not at all. I didn't have the stomach for it. But when I was a young woman, John Kennedy was the president, and he founded the Peace Corps. And he gave a speech when I was about 17 saying, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." And I really wasn't very concerned about what I could do for my country, but the idea of doing something for my fellow man really appealed to me. Plus, the idea of international experience really spoke to me. And so when I finished college, I joined the Peace Corps and I went to Turkey. And that was a very illuminating and very difficult experience as a young American girl all by herself in a Turkish village. So that was a really expansive experience. I taught school in Turkey. So when I came back to the United States, I moved to San Francisco and I got a job teaching in the inner city school system of the Latin district of San Francisco. I found that I didn't like teaching at all and I wasn't a good teacher. Then through a series of experiences in the next few years, my husband died suddenly and I was left with my life to live, and at that point I had come upon the books of Alice Bailey and had begun to study in the school, the Arcane School. I had realized by that point that I needed to learn to meditate, that wanting to be of service would not be enough if one didn't have control of one's mind. I remember realizing that a willing heart is not enough. You have to have mental clarity. So I sought out a system of meditation and experimented with a few things. I was also very interested in astrology, and astrology rapidly points one to the astrology of the soul, which is esoteric astrology, and that was the first book by Alice Bailey that I bought, but I didn't understand it at all. I read a few of her other books, and as soon as I found out about the Arcane School, which is mentioned in the back of every book, I thought, that's for me.
And did you have a bit of a aha when you read her works? Did they speak to you?
Or? They did. Yes. I read her autobiography and was really impressed by her own life and her own ability to change and grow. That made a great impact on me. And I remember reading her books and thinking, I can trust this teaching. Even though each book says, do not believe a word of this if it doesn't seem true to you, I must say that I remember the sense that I had that this teaching was reliable and sound. And that was very important to me. So when I heard about the school, I just knew that this very long, arduous period of training, which is the Arcane School, was what I needed. I knew I needed training, so I had sense enough to at least know that I needed a lot of training. I had stubbed my toe enough trying to live a life of service to know that you've got to have some equipment to work with. And
because what's the danger there?
Well, I think the danger is that you just mess around and interfere and make more trouble than usefulness in trying to assist, especially on the level of social interaction. Plus, if you don't have control of your own emotional nature, if you're driven by anything like fear or
ego,
that certainly gets in the way of a lot of servers, or Inferiority, that's another one, because all of those suggest that your perspective is out of whack. If you are not seeing yourself as incorporated within the whole, your line of perspective is incorrect. And I realized that meditation would give me the perspective I needed to identify with the whole and take my part within it. That's the best I can put it. So I studied with the school for 2 or 3 years, and as I say, when my husband died, I was available, and I had a chance to come to the headquarters in New York.
And did it help you come to terms with the death of your husband, or what impact did that have on you?
Well, it did. It was a devastating experience, as death always is, because it was sudden. But I knew, I was convinced at least at that point, that the death of the person is not the death of the soul. And that there is a higher reality, and that we are all on this earth for only a short time. And that life is lived on many levels, not just the physical. So those beliefs at least were enough to get me through that period. But I never, ever minimize death and the impact on loved ones. It's a devastating experience. And grief is real. I don't like to hear people of spiritual beliefs minimize another person's grief, because until you've experienced it yourself, you don't realize it's part of the human experience. And it's perfectly normal to grieve.
And it seems that for some people, their past, like some people can live their lives and, you know, significant part of their lives and not know deep grief.
That's right.
And for others, that seems to be part of their path, and it's something that never leaves them.
No, it doesn't. You live with that experience. You never really put it behind you. But I think that's true of all suffering. It becomes part of our experience, part of our baggage, you could say. And hopefully we turn it into something that gives us more understanding and more acceptance of life. Life is a series of tests and sorrows, and when we can accept that, we can begin to see the beauty that is working out through both the good and the bad. I can look back now and see how much I learned from some of the difficult experiences, and probably many of us can. We can say about some particular tragedy, it taught me so much. People are afraid of crisis today. They think if they have a crisis, they must have done something wrong. That's not true. Crises are often the teaching points. And it just means it's a period when you are at a fork in the road and you are presented with a choice. And so it can often be soul ordained. It doesn't mean you've made a mistake. It means you're given a chance to move forward in a new direction. Take it. Make the most of it.